I said recently that on occasions I want to break into the normal series I've been preaching from Numbers, and I want to go back to that, God willing, next week, but I want to break in to the regular, if you like, the regular course of series, and from time to time I want to go back to what we would describe as the very fundamental doctrine. A doctrine is just another word for what we teach or what we believe. So occasionally I want to go back to basic truths that the church teaches or should teach, and we as Christians should believe. And this morning, by the way, I don't apologize to those who've been Christians for donkey's years, who know all these things. I don't apologize to you. You can never, ever be sure enough of your foundations, okay? This is just as much for the experienced Christian as it is for someone who's a much more young Christian or a beginner. It's vital for everyone, okay? So I want to start with a question that may have struck you if you've come into this church, particularly if you've come in new, and it's this question: why is the Bible so important? But I'll stop there. Why is the Bible so important? I could have added to that question, why is the Bible so important in our worship? Could have said that. Or I could have said, why is the Bible so important in our lives? But for now, why is the Bible so important? Now, let's start at the most basic point. When we talk about this as the Bible, we use other words as well. Sometimes we call this the scriptures, okay? And it's, as it's in our reading, sometimes it's referred to as the Holy Scriptures, okay? So we have Bible, scriptures, and another word which we use often is the Word of God, okay? When we hold this and read it, we're saying, we have in our hands the Word of God, okay? I am reading the Word of God to you. So that's what we're talking about. And if you begin to know the Bible, you know that the Old Testament as we have it has 39 books, and they were all originally written in Hebrew. And the New Testament has 27 books, which make up the 66 books of the Bible. And the New Testament was written in Greek. So that's what we're handling. These, well, we'll say 66 books, more than half were written in Hebrew, the other half in Greek, and we have them, thankfully, in an English translation, okay? And the translation that this church has chosen to use is the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, the New King James Version of the Bible is very, very close to the older King James Version. And if you read this one, you can follow in that one. They belong together, and they are different from all the other versions of the Bible you can buy in a Bible shop. Okay, but that's what we're talking about. We're now talking about the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God. This. Why is it so important? That's the question. Why is it so important? And really, you can begin to answer the question why it's so important by asking another question. And this is the other question: how do I know God? Or let me put it this way: how do I know about God? How do I know God? And the reason that question is so difficult and important, how do I know God? It's because God is invisible. Invisible. You cannot see God. You cannot touch him. How do you know anything about this our great God, this great being, that you cannot see or touch? If I asked you, tell me about that lawnmower out there, you say, oh, I can tell you about that. I can go and see it. I can see it's painted orange or green. I can see it's made of metal. These things, tell me about these chairs. Well, you can describe them because you can see them and feel them. But with God, you cannot see God. Paul writes about him in one of his letters. He says, he alone has immortality. He dwells in unapproachable light. Listen, whom no man has seen or can see, To whom be honour and everlasting power. Amen. Now the thing is this. The only way that you or I or anyone else can know God or know anything about him is if he reveals himself. Okay? So God must reveal himself in order for us, any of us, to know anything about him. Okay? So I hope you, this morning, please follow my reasoning. This reasoning is important, okay? Well, why is the Bible so important? Well, we want to know something about God, and we cannot know anything about God unless he makes himself known. To reveal means to make himself known. He must make himself known, or we are stuck. We have nothing. Now, the next thing I can say to you is this, that God has made himself known in two ways. There are two ways that God has made himself known. The first way is in nature. And the second way is in his word. Okay? So, if you like, by nature, by created nature, and by speaking to men. Okay? Now then, first of all, in the creation, in the universe, in the world around you, God has made himself known. Okay. We sang Psalm 19 this morning. The heavens above declare the glory of the Lord. Okay. The whole world around us is speaking to us about God. And when I say about nature, okay, I also mean about our human nature as well. There is something in man that tells him that there is a God. Okay? You know, it's very, very hard, if not impossible, to be a real atheist. The real atheist has to work very hard to convince himself or herself that there is no God. Because God has revealed himself in the world around us and in our own hearts. You know, every one of us has a basic sense of right and wrong. Isn't that right? If you do something wrong, your heart tells you you've done it. Sometimes we call that conscience. There is a law written in our nature. How did that get there? Tell you what, forget evolution. We didn't derive it from evolving from cats. Cats haven't got a sense of right and wrong. I can tell you, having had pet cats, they kill without compunction. But human beings have a written law of God in their hearts. Now, I'm not going to speak about this morning, but there is something in the way the world is made and the way we're made that makes us realize that there is a God. We'll come back to that another time. But really, this morning, we want to think about the other way that God makes himself known, and that's by speaking. God has spoken. If you know, if you have even just a general idea of the history of the world, you know that God spoke to Adam when he made him. Straight from the beginning, God spoke to Adam. But then, as time went on, we have Moses and all the prophets. And God spoke to these men. If you read the prophets, many, many of their sermons or their oracles begin with the words, "Thus says the Lord." They weren't proclaiming their own words. They were saying, "Thus says the Lord." So when you open the books of the prophets of the Old Testament, you have their account of God speaking through them, to them, and through them. And then later, we know that he spoke through his Son. We've seen this in Hebrews chapter 1. God has spoken to us by a Son, and also by the apostles, the ambassadors of his Son. Now, the important thing is this. When the prophets spoke, they spoke by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Peter says this in his second letter. King David says it when he wrote Psalms. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is speaking by me." Okay, so when the prophet spoke, the Holy Spirit gave them the words to say, directed their tongues, guided their minds. And when the Lord Jesus himself came, even he told them, "What I give you, what I say to you, I give you from my Father, from my Father." And so what we can be absolutely certain about is that God has spoken in this world. But we have to make another step now and say, yes, not only has God spoken through those prophets and apostles through his Son, God has also ordered that his word should be put into writing. Okay? And that's why we can speak about the scriptures. The scriptures mean the writings. The writings that God has given us. The word Bible simply really means book. The book. This is the book of God. And I want you to notice the reading that's on the sheet, the service sheet this morning. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul tells us that the scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means literally God breathed. It means it's come out of the mouth of God. The words that you have in your Bible, they have come from the mouth of God. They're there because God spoke those words in writing. Can I put it like that? He has, as it were, spoken that these words should be put on the page for his church since the Lord Jesus has gone back to heaven. The scriptures, this is very important, the scripture is given to us by the command and direction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Every word in the Bible is there because God has spoken it for you and for me. Now, have you followed what I've said so far? Let me just remind you the steps. I started with the question, why is the Bible so important? Okay. It's the most important possession you've got in your house. Why? If you've got the crown jewels stacked under the stairs, they're not as valuable as the Bible in your hand. Why is the Bible so important? Well, because we cannot know anything about God unless he reveals himself. We are absolutely dependent. If God hides himself, we are ignorant. Okay? And we can say this morning, God has revealed himself. And in particular, our interest is this, that God has spoken. God has spoken. And more than that, God has also, so to speak, written his word for us. Using men, I know, but he has written his word for us. So when we pick up our Bibles, you see, this is God's word to us, to me. Okay? And the next step, which I want to take, is this. That the word of God given to us is complete. It's complete. There never will be a 67th book. There will never come a time when an elder or minister of the churches will say, "God has revealed another book to me. He's commanded me to write a 67th book." No, that will not happen. Did you notice what Jude says? It's that verse there in Jude 3 is on the page. Very, very deliberately, listen. He says, "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you what to do now. To contend earnestly." That word means to fight for all your worth. Right? Roll up your sleeves. Go to war for this. What for? For the faith, listen, Jude says, once for all delivered to the saints. Do you know why he says that? There were people who wanted to add to it. And he's sending a message. Don't listen to the ones who want to add to this. Do you know, if you read the New Testament carefully, you'll find that quite a lot of the letters were written by the apostles in a time when there were others who wanted to add to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. When Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, he had to warn them that the devil comes as an angel of light, and he has his apostles who will try to, as it were, wean you away from this and give you something else to believe. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, all those that long letter is, and so personal, is to keep the saints on the word of God. Don't listen to them. Take Colossians. Colossians is full of this. Absolutely full. The letter is full of it. There were people who'd come along and they were saying to the church, oh, you won't find everything you need in what the apostles have given you. You need to listen to us as well. And Paul writes to Colossians, don't listen to them. Don't let them entice you away from the foundation. And even 1 John, the first letter of John, the entire letter is to preserve the church and say, stand on the old ground. Don't listen to this new stuff that these deceivers have brought in to deceive you. And so you can see, and I'm just giving you an example, the New Testament, the apostles of Christ were saying to the church, what God has revealed and given to you, it is complete. You don't need to wait for more. Okay. And finally this morning, so God has spoken, God has written, and it is complete. And finally, this is the foundation. Okay. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 20, he says that we are built on the foundation of what? The apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, let me, at the risk of wearying you, let me remind you of what I've just said, okay? This is where I'm going. I asked the question, why is the Bible so important? And I started by saying, well, for a start, because God is invisible and transcendent and eternal and beyond us, we cannot know anything about God unless he reveals himself. And then I said, yes, and the great thing is God has revealed himself. God has spoken to us, and he has put it in writing. And this, the next thing is, this is complete. The 39 books and the 27 books, the 66 books, that is the complete scripture. There is nothing more. And you need nothing more. It is complete. It is sufficient. Now then, The second and the final question that I want to ask this morning is this. Then, what must we do with the Bible? That's the question. You understand what it is. It's the written word of God. But the question now is, what must we do with it? Well, I've only got 3 things to say. The first thing is that we must listen to the Bible and reject other claims. We must understand that if this is the faith once for all delivered to the saints, then we have no room for anything else. Listen to the Bible, build on the Bible, and on nothing else. Now let me tell you that in the history of the world, since Christ ascended and the apostles wrote, in the history of the world, that particular point has been challenged and attacked worldwide and in every century. But there has never been a time since the Lord ascended when someone hasn't challenged what I just said to you. Right? I just said to you, build on the Bible, listen to the Bible, and reject other claims to truth. Okay? Let me give you some examples of how this has been attacked over the years. There's another massive religion in the world that claims that there is another book. It's called the Quran. Right? Millions and millions of people will say to you today, and since about 600 or 700 when Islam began, yeah, this is the extra revelation that the Bible doesn't have. So there is a direct contradiction between Christianity and Islam on this point. Some people call it the Holy Quran. I would never call it that. The only book that's entitled to the title Holy is the Bible, because that comes from God. But you know, as history went on, men also began to say, well, I can also add what I can work out from my own intelligence, my reasoning. Okay? And many, many Christians have said, just, well, we'll have the Bible plus our own reasoning. That is an attack on what Jude says. When Jude says this, he says, contend for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints, he's saying, don't trust your own reasoning. Don't supplement it with your own wisdom. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and hear his word. And then, do you know, from the second century, there have been people who've claimed fresh revelations from God. I'll give you, this has happened in every age that I can think of. But very early on, there was a man called Montanus. Okay? And Montanus, he even deceived the church father called Tertullian, a great church father. And yet he was taken in by Montanus. What did Montanus do? He said, I'm having fresh revelations from God. Well, Tertullian was very impressed. Imagine that. Someone having fresh revelations from God. And do you know, many people listened to Montanus, and one day he said, I've just had a message from God that Jesus is returning. He's returning now in the next few days, and I know where he's coming. He's coming in a place called Phrygia, in the desert in Phrygia. He said, we've got to go out to meet him. And of course, they all went out to meet Christ in the desert in Phrygia, because Montanus had had a revelation from who knows where. And for all I know, they're still there waiting. Because it wasn't from God. It was a false claim. And this is what, I won't bore you with more and more details, but you're in many churches today, okay? What is being taught is the Bible plus something else. Many, many churches in our country add their own traditions to the Bible. One of the most heinous, I think, is all the false teachings about Mary, the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption, and all the rest of it. Queen of Heaven. This is not biblical, and yet many, many Christians believe it. Because someone, some church leader, has added to the Bible. I tell you, if you believe, as I do, in the Bible alone, you're in a minority. You're in a small minority, historically and today. So I say to you, this is a big issue. Reject other revelations and stand on the Word of God. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, what are we to do with the Bible? Secondly, we are, I'm going to put it this way and then correct myself, we are to hear and read it. Okay, we are to hear and read it. In some churches, they teach children a little song, and I don't think I was ever taught it, but it goes something like this. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Is that right? Some of you will know it, okay? Now, okay, it's a song written for children, but the point is very helpful. Read your Bible every day. Okay, one of the things, now, I'm going to qualify it because not everyone can read. What do you do if you can't read? Well, the great emphasis in Scripture is actually not on reading it, but on hearing it. Okay? There have been many Christians in history who couldn't read their own language, let alone Hebrew and Greek, but they've been able to go to church and hear someone reading the Bible to them and explaining it. And the great emphasis in Scripture is on hearing the word read and preached. Right? Paul says about how shall they believe unless they hear? How shall they hear unless they have a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? But the emphasis is on listen well to Scripture. When you come in here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Come in alert and ready to hear carefully what's being said. Listen, this is really important. When you hear the Bible being read, you are hearing the voice of God. I read to you from Matthew 7 this morning. Those were the words of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. When I read from Paul's letters, those that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as you hear those words. Now, do you know, for a Christian, there's a very strange gift of assurance. Do you know, if you ask a question, how sure am I that I'm saved? How sure am I that I'm a real Christian, genuine Christian? Well, the Lord Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Right? Now that means that if you're a real Christian, when the Bible is being read, you know that you're hearing the Lord Jesus speaking to you. The Apostle John, I'm going to turn to it in 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John says this about the Christian. He says, listen, he says, and it is, listen, this wonderful words in 1 John 5, he says, and it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So he's now talking about the work of the Holy Spirit bearing witness. Where? Where is the Holy Spirit bearing witness? You say, well, I've already told you in the Bible, but no, that's not what John means now. He says, listen, he says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Okay? And he who does not believe God has made him a liar. He goes on, but I won't read on now this morning. What John is pointing out is this. When a person becomes a Christian, he becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in him. He's born again of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that happens in his heart is that the Holy Spirit speaks to him. So when there's two things go on. When for a genuine Christian, when he hears the Bible being read, at the same time the Holy Spirit is at work in his heart saying, I'm speaking to you. This is from me. And you know, if that's not part of your experience, you know, in the early church, as history went on, they had to come to the conclusion, how do I know that this is true? How do I know that this Bible is true? And they say, when we read it, it's a wonderful book. Is that enough to make us know it's true? No. What happens in a Christian is that he knows it's true because he recognizes the voice of God in it. And that recognition is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so in one sense, your relationship to the Bible is a kind of thermometer that tells you what your relationship with God is like. If you go home, oh, I'm too bored with this. Well, that's telling you you're bored with God. You're bored with Jesus Christ. That's telling you you're lost. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. If you don't have a love for the word in you, you're dead, mate. You're finished. It's time to seek the Lord. Because when he speaks, you're deaf. Can you see what I'm saying? This is so vital. It's all bound up together. That the written word and the living spirit are both, as it were, recognised by the child of God. So I say to you, it is terribly important that you hear the word of God. That you hear God speaking to you. And can I go on further and say, and try to commit at least some of it to memory. You know, all my life, well, from childhood, I was taught to memorize scripture, and I don't think I did it very well when I was a child. I was in too much of a rush. I wanted to just... But as I've got older, I've had the practice of committing more and more scripture to memory. Okay? And if I had the ability, I would commit the entire scripture to memory. I don't think I'm going to live long enough, and I don't think I've got the ability. But that's what I want. I want it written in here, not just there. Okay. So this is a big deal for a young person growing up. If you're young here this morning, if you're under 20, right, or that sort of age, now is the time to learn scripture while your memory retains things well. When you get to my great age, right, you've got to work really hard to remember a verse. But when you're young, now is the time. Look, let me be practical. Get a piece of paper, get a piece of cardboard, right? Write a verse on it and take it with you everywhere you go. Take it into the bathroom, take it on the bus, take it out for a walk and read it every day until you can recite it in your sleep. Then do it with another one. Learn. Hear the word of God and learn it, and then Finally, I said three things to do with it. One is, cling to it only. Don't let anyone add to it for you. And then secondly, hear it. And thirdly, well, what's the third point, do you know? Well, believe and do. Believe and, who said practice? Someone said practice. Practice it! That's exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7. He's saying, there are lots of people who are going to come to him in the last day and say, Lord, I've been a prophet. I prophesied in your name. And there are going to be people who say, Lord, I've healed the sick. And I've done this. I've cast out demons in your name. I never knew you. What do you mean you never knew me? You didn't do what I said. You called me Lord. You used my name. You didn't do what I said. And then he goes on to teach them. Do you know when you do what he says, and somebody said, believe it, of course, believe it, because you won't do it unless you believe it. This is a foundation for our faith, okay? But the thing is this, Jesus says, if you do what I've commanded you, you're like someone building on a rock. You've got a foundation, and that foundation is good for life and eternity. He said, the day is going to come when a storm comes. Now, I wonder what that storm is. I wonder whether that storm is, for example, a devastating blow in your life. Something that shakes you to the core. Maybe it's cancer. Death of a loved one. Some terrible tragedy. The storm is going to come and it's going to find out if you're standing on the sand. You're going to come down. The person who stood on the rock will not fall. He'll be kept standing on the rock. But then, maybe that's not the storm that Christ is thinking about. Maybe he's thinking about the storm of the last day of judgment. Maybe in his mind he's thinking about further ahead. When I return and you stand before me, am I going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You served me. Or am I going to say to you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness? Okay? Well, I tell you, the last day, the day of judgment, whatever the storms of life might be, whatever that might be, the last day is certainly stormy. And very stormy for those who have neglected the word of God. What are you going to say to Jesus Christ when you meet him? Lord, I had a Bible. And do you know, it gathered dust on the shelf. There it was. I think I read it about 3 times a year. Did you know what was in it? No, I didn't really know what was in it. I was a bit vague about that. What are you going to say to him? There have been generations who've never possessed one of these. I think years before printing was invented, when you had to have it written out by hand, the whole thing, and it cost you £50,000 to get a Bible. But we're not in that position. We've got cheap as chips from the shop, £20 or whatever. What are you going to say to the Lord? I gave you my word. What did you do with it? What did you do with it? Do you know what I said to you? Did you ever put it into practice? Or did you just go your own way? Did you listen to me or listen to these people who've got visions and dreams? Jeremiah had that problem. Jeremiah brought the word of God to the people. They were false prophets who had visions and dreams. And Jeremiah was frustrated. People were listening to them. He said, that's chaff. What's chaff to the wheat? God says, let him who has my word speak my word. You see, this has always been an issue. So there we are. Look, this is, I started here. One of the most fundamental things for all of us is understanding really what the word of God is and what it should be in our lives. Okay, that's basic. Without that, you've got no access to other fundamental truths. How do you know how to be saved unless you read the way of salvation in here? There we are. That's it. Why is the Bible so important? Because from there, we learn what we must believe and how we must live to glorify God and to hear his well done, good and faithful servant. Does anyone here think this is too simple for them? This is not too simple, is it? Older Christians here, is this too simple for you? I don't think so. It's fundamental for all of us. Amen.